The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
This week, we are taking a look and a listen to the five-hour police interrogation of Wendy Adelson. Continue with that right now.
He's moved. So he was, he and I actually went to college together, and I randomly found out that he was still in Tallahassee. But he was really eager to leave Tallahassee. He wanted to be in the Northeast.
Law student? Law.
No, he's teaching at the theater department. So we knew each other in college and then lost track for 12 years. And then he ended up getting hired by the theater department here.
But since left?
In May, he moved to Amherst to start a job there.
Connecticut?
Massachusetts.
In May?
Yeah, end of May, maybe early June, something like that.
Is Amherst a college?
Yeah, but he's at UMass Amherst.
Okay.
My stomach really hurts.
Do you need to eat?
No, I don't know that I'm going to eat for a long time.
Okay.
Do you need something? Good thing I had that last lunch.
And you saw him briefly at the same time you were seeing Jeff?
In the fall, yeah. I had actually never dated 2 people at once before, but I wasn't exclusive with either one.
And right.
So I dated them both until I realized, like, Daniel just was going to leave, and I thought Jeff had potential, so.
Okay. But let's get back to this Saturday. Mm-hmm. I guess this was this past Saturday that he got mad about.
When he got mad, it was June 28th. It was before I left for Miami with the boys.
Okay.
So, he got really mad.
But what sparked that?
That was what was really sort of surprising is Daniel had been gone. We'd had a month of like really, really great times, very happy month, and we went out to a nice dinner with friends and then got back to the hotel room, and I could just tell he was upset. And so for me, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Was that in Gainesville?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's when Jeff wanted to look at your phone or something?
Yeah. Did Jane tell you that?
Yeah.
Or so he had said that it wasn't that time, but he had said, if Jeff would be over and I was doing something, I would leave my phone out. I have this like old agenda book. I'd leave that out. And basically he said that he like saw that I had called Daniel, and he saw it in
Daniel
my phone.
Stack?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry, that's why I said there's Danny and then there's Daniel.
Gotcha.
So it had really upset me that he had gone through my phone and that he had, I was just, the whole time I was just kind of crying. I was just really sad. I felt like we had a great relationship and his behavior made me think that I couldn't really be with someone like that. And I didn't really say much other than I was just really like, no, I didn't cheat on you. Like, yes, I saw Daniel in the fall. Like, no, I haven't seen him more than as a friend since February. And like, if you don't trust me, we can't really do this. So, and then he was, really sad and apologetic and was like, oh my God, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me and I'm going to lose you. And I never really thought I would be in a police station talking about my relationship.
Well,
I understand that it's potentially relevant.
So when this was on the 28th of June in Gainesville.
Yeah, so we drove back that Sunday morning and I cried the whole way. We drove back to the house and I told them like, my parents don't believe that I can drive the boys down to South Florida by myself, so they like to drive up and help me drive down with them. So my folks were coming up that Sunday. So Jeff left, I had a couple of hours, my parents came up, and then Monday morning I went and picked up the kids, and that was the weekend that Amy was visiting, Danny's girlfriend.
Okay.
So that was my first time meeting Amy, so I went to our former house, and I was really, anxious to meet Amy and kind of sad about 6:20. Sad about the whole thing. And so my dad was like, well, I'll stand with you. So my dad stood next to me on the doorbell and Amy was perfectly lovely. And I picked up the kids and they seemed really happy and got in the car and said goodbye.
Okay. That was Monday.
Yeah.
And then
I was in Coral Springs or Miami with my folks and my brother, and my other brother came down. It was my dad's 70th birthday on July 5th, so we had a party for him, and I had Skype contact with Danny and the boys. And so after we left the next day, he flew up to New York and was in New York that whole time.
Who?
Danny.
Okay.
So Amy went back, and the next day Danny went back to join her. And so he was in New York the whole time I was in. He flew back July 11th.
Okay.
In time to pick up the boys on that Friday afternoon.
Okay. Let's get back to Jeff after you come back to Tallahassee, and I can't remember which day you
So I had lost my voice. Right. So I got back to Tallahassee, my parents came with us, and then Saturday morning I took my folks to get the rental car, they left, and I had a cold and I wasn't feeling well, so I kind of just was in my house all day Saturday. Sunday, Jeff and I made plans to go see, so Sunday the 12th.
Look at your phone.
Yeah, Sunday the 13th.
You hadn't seen him since you drove back on the 29th.
That's right. So July 13th, I saw him. We went to a movie and then got some dinner and we're talking. And it was confusing because I missed him and it was nice to be with him. But I also felt kind of like uncertain given his behavior in Gainesville. I have kids. I feel really protective of, if someone...
And that'll be the 13th?
The 13th is when I went out with him.
Okay. That's on Monday?
No, it was Sunday. And then the 14th was the night I went to yoga, and he came and seemed to want to, go out a lot the rest of the week, and I just knew I needed some headspace to figure out what to do.
Okay, the 13th, you went out with Jeff, went to a movie. The 14th, you went to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
He went to yoga.
Yeah.
But no discussion. Oh, no, you email him later.
And say just, I'd like a week off. And I'm sure, I don't know, you can find it in my phone. It'll be in my email track of what I sent. And
basically to Jeff saying, I want some time. He doesn't respond, but he brings up gifts on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
But you'd had no contact since the yoga on Monday night.
None.
Okay. Nothing, no contact at all since?
No text, no email. I told him, I said no text, no email, no nothing. Like,
Is Jeff a violent person?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Jeff own a gun?
I don't think so. I mean, my guess would be like 100% no, but I guess I was only in his house one time. I mean, he certainly could have a gun and I wouldn't know about it, but lives by himself. He'd never talked to me about a gun.
Okay.
I mean, he was in the military, so.
Oh, he was in the military before?
Yeah, he grew up in California. His dad was in the Air Force, and then he was in the Air Force and ended up in Eglin Air Force Base, and he started going to community college and took classes and was really bright and ended up doing a PhD here at FSU and then taught in Arizona and then just got rehired here. Not rehired, but like hired. And that's how Jane knows him, is she's doing a PhD in social work and Jeff is a professor in social work.
Okay. All right. I want to get a picture just to confirm I'm not talking about the right person.
I probably have one on my
phone.
And you can find him on FSU, right?
How long has he been back at FSU?
Since August.
And you all met through Jane?
Yeah. No, I just have pictures of my kids. This is from my dad's 70th birthday. That's my mom and dad and my boys and me.
Wow.
And they're super cute.
Very nice.
He's a young 70. The boys have blue eyes. Danny has blue eyes too. He's low.
I'll go see if I can get a...
I wanted to call my parents.
Yeah.
Should I wait?
Just for a couple minutes more, I'm just going to get a picture so I know that I'm talking about the right person.
Okay.
It'll come from a database.
Okay. I can listen to messages. Okay.
Sounds like when he came in here, he yelled at me.
Strange. It's
and unfortunately you're probably going to be inundated.
So Tracy Cohen was like this woman that I was really, really good friends with, and she and her husband live on Trescott down the street, and they've got two little girls, and she's the one person that it just really hurt my feelings that after the divorce I felt like she kind of took Danny's side. I've got a message from them. Anyway, so she was calling because she's like, she heard that she's on Trescott. She said, no, you heard it, I guess. She said the shooting was, she heard that it was Danny, and she called the hospital and they won't give her any information, and so she wanted to find out. But I wonder, like, Tracy's husband, Jeremy, is a friend of Danny's. Mm-hmm. I probably should tell them that.
Sorry, there's just a lot of people, and because I don't know, it makes it difficult sometimes.
Tracy's husband, Jeremy.
Okay, and Tracy's the person that you were just telling me about,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, just felt
it was
sad.
Kind of felt a little bit hurt when...
Her husband, Jeremy, mm-hmm. is friendly with Danny.
Mm-hmm.
She lives on Trescott, and I'm just thinking Jeremy might be a good person to know about what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a good person to know. Like, I just...
What I would say...
Because we're still trying to work on getting his parents
notified. So do that
just first. Kind of... And what I'll do is, if you leave there before I have confirmations, before I get to talk to his parents, I got your number, I'll call you as soon as, you know, they know. And obviously, it's... Unfortunately, like, things like this do get around. And I suppose sometimes for your benefit, too, because you're going to start getting inundated. Right. And sometimes my suggestion is, if you're comfortable with it, like, have someone else man your phone or something like that, you know.
I want to see this. I now have two messages from the Utah. Hear like barely any. Oh God. Do you hear that? He's the academic dean at the law school, and he's saying it's an emergency. I'm guessing it's an emergency because he wants to know what's going on for Danny's. It's not an emergency.
You don't need to talk really to anybody but who you want, you know?
Let me just listen to these copies. Lynn called, not knowing anything, at 4:47, just to chat.
That might have been before they got in touch with her.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, like, at a little before 5, she was just calling to shoot the shit. She was saying that was my friend that was at the lunch. Mm-hmm. She said, I have a feeling who's behind all of this. She meant, like, she thought it was Danny's fault that I was there.
Excuse me. Hi. His parents, do I know one of them have any medical issues?
Oh, God. They're going to get called right now.
We've been working on it. We're trying to get the law enforcement to go. But
his mom is a large woman and has some ongoing health issues.
Okay.
I think they're both actually, I mean, they're turning 70 this
sure.
year, so,
okay.
Oh my God, I just, I
can't. You don't have a number for his sister, do you?
Let me see. I might actually. I recently went through my phone and deleted stuff I wasn't
right.
using, but let me see if I have Shelly. I don't have Shelly.
And it's Shelly Markel?
Markel.
Is it S-H-E-L-L-E-Y?
Just Y. I think I have Phil.
Okay.
I do. I have Phil's.
Okay. Because we tried Ruth's number and she didn't answer.
So a lot of times they have a place up north
okay.
that they go to on the weekends. I don't have that number.
Okay.
But Phil might answer
okay.
his cell phone. So here's...
877?
Mm-hmm. It's a... Like, he does a lot of business. And
okay.
so I think it's a, like, a toll-free number.
Okay.
Well, let me see if I have Ruth's.
Okay.
If I have, like... the country house number you guys are calling now, huh? Is there any update from the hospital?
I haven't spoken with them.
If people wanted to
I did speak with ICU. You know, I spoke
too.
With the nurse.
Is that the number you have for Ruth's house?
No.
His parents are recently divorced.
Okay.
I think she's at that number.
Okay. All right. Obviously, something we try to avoid, as far as we like to have someone make contact in person, but we're just not having any luck right now because we don't have an address. We have business, you know, because I was able to Google stuff and see the business
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they're not going to be there.
Right. So this is what we're going to try and do.
Okay.
All right. No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. Generally, we like to try to get someone there for someone, but sometimes time isn't necessarily always on our side.
Because they want someone.
Well, they need to tell someone because, you know, eventually he's going to need someone to make those decisions and stuff.
Okay. It looks bizarre to get these messages of, like, about book club and.
How life kind of sometimes just keeps moving.
Like recommending students for jobs and sort of waiting. Oh my god. I can't help but feeling like this is all my fault.
Why do you feel that way?
Why would somebody do this, right? Like, if I had been still married to him, then there wouldn't be anyone that was angry, right? Like, there wouldn't be any kind of disgruntled, wouldn't be Amy's husband. This can't be a random act of violence. This has to be on purpose. Someone did this for a reason.
But this is why I tell everybody, you don't cause people's actions. You can control your actions. You can't control anyone else's.
Ugh.
And I know it's hard, and, you know, as you and I kind of talk throughout this process, you know, when time comes, I'll make recommendations for things that might be good for you and for the boys. But right now, let's just kind of deal with tonight.
Yeah.
We'll get there eventually.
Let me, I want to send some texts sort of canceling my plans. Like, actually, it's 6:30. I was supposed to be at a party by now, so let me tell Linda. God, the person throwing it works at Beavis Funeral Home.
Okay.
My friend Elizabeth is a mortician. She's the prettiest mortician I've ever met. What did we say I should tell people?
Just say,
can't make it tonight.
Yeah, just say, I'm very sorry, I can't make it tonight. I'll be in contact soon. And say they're going to stop the bar party.
Yeah, I'd never heard of that. Is that a thing?
I think it's newer for newer people getting married and don't have as much money to spend on weddings, so you do a stock to bar party, so at least you get all your liquor and... Or maybe just stock a bar at your house, I don't know. But that was my interpretation, but I've heard of the stock to bar
parties.
I'll
be drinking that bourbon for dinner.
Do you like bourbon?
No.
I don't know much about bourbon.
I don't know anything about bourbon. I asked her the... Okay, so that was tonight's plan. And then tomorrow,
Don't worry about tomorrow. Just go ahead and do your tonight, since you're supposed to be there, you know, basically
yeah.
Now. And
I just feel like I shouldn't be going about my life as if it were normal. You know, well, like, the kid, I don't know how to do
that. Well, and then, you know what? You're going to be able to call your parents soon. And then I think once your parents get here, they'll kind of be able to help guide you on what's
yeah.
best.
Yeah.
So don't worry about canceling tomorrow's plan. You have a bunch of time to do that in between. And
okay.
This is, you know, the most important thing in keeping yourself the least amount of stress.
Come on now.
Sane, unstressed, whatever word you want to use.
So Robin kept telling me I had to call Jimmy. Should I call?
Who's Jimmy?
Jimmy is my divorce attorney. So
and Robin's your
sorry,
friend
Robin's
that's not
a good
your
friend.
Okay. Was Robin the one that you were at lunch with?
No.
I would just, again, I don't think
that
might
be... Why don't I send an email to Jimmy Judkins and just ask if I heard there was an urgent matter? Do you need something?
If that would make you feel better, that's fine. Were you guys going through any new thing with your divorce? Or?
I mean, I have a meeting that was coming up. So basically what happened is when we got divorced last summer, when we got divorced last summer, the settlement agreement was that Danny really wanted to stay in the house. So the agreement was that he would stay in the house and he would pay me my half of the house. And he had until like mid-October to do it, and he just didn't do it. And so I asked him, like, where's the money? Right. What happened? And he said, I have compelling reasons and I'm not paying it. And I said, well, what are the reasons? And he said, I'm not telling you. So I rehired my attorney and we filed a motion in court. It just keeps going on and on. But anyway, it's like taking forever. You're a victim advocate. It's taking forever to get through court. It's teaching me to have a lot more patience as an attorney. But we have like a meeting coming up soon. It was supposed to be the 24th, and then Jimmy just moved it to the 30th or the 31st. So that's why I feel like, what's the urgency if it's not about this? Like, what would he need to talk about?
When did he start sending those emails?
I got one from Robin at 5 and one at 6. And that's unusual, and she's not like...
And I don't know, you know, what's Robin... She might have inklings of what's going on, and she might be in, you know, you need to contact an attorney. But again, you're not being, you know, looked at as a suspect. They're just clearing.
Well, I'm trying to help. I mean,
and you have been, and I think you and Investigator Isom have been able to communicate well with each other and everything.
Okay, so this Jimmy sent an email to me. So when we had our hearing with the judge about whether Danny needed to pay me, the judge was like, you need to pay her the money. Like, we're going to hold you in contempt of
court. Which judge is it now? I know they just changed all the judges.
They do. So it was Judge Hobbs.
Before?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, Judge Hobbs at that hearing. And she was like, I'm going to put you in jail. Like, pay her the money.
Right.
And he was like, well, Your Honor, I have, you know, I'm going to file a motion for full custody of the kids, and I'm going to file a motion for, he never did that, but, like, a motion for sanctions against Wendy's attorney, who's Kristen Adamson. I don't know if you... So Kristen was my attorney, and so because he filed sanctions against my attorney, Kristen was like, I can't represent you anymore. I need to represent myself. Like, I need to be a witness in your case because he's impugning my professional reputation. So Kristen hooked me up with Jimmy to be my attorney instead. And so now Jimmy's my attorney. And so we're trying to, like, now I've got Jimmy writing to me and Kristen and trying to work this all out. But they wrote this at 344. Clearly they had no idea, because all it says is, basically, we have a new judge, and I think this is good news, and, like, here's some stuff we have to do on our case.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to skip it.
I don't think you really need to be stressed. I mean...
Yeah. Okay.
And I think when time comes, I think anyone that's been trying to reach you about anything will understand completely and entirely why.
What's going on?
Yes.
God, one of the other... There's, like, a young faculty member at the law school, this guy Mark, who had a heart attack. Mark is like 33 or 34. I did yoga with him. He's like super fit, healthy. He just had like a congenital heart defect. So, you know, he's fine. He's actually alive. He made it. He's okay. But, you know, the whole law school is like, oh my God, like, what happened? And now that's why Manuel is called twice. And it says it's from Park City. That's where his wife is from. So either he never changed his cell phone. That's possible. He either never changed. I've never talked to Manuel outside of school. So either.
And he's the dean of the law school?
He's not. So there's like the dean in charge of everything, and then there's like the academic dean.
Because the law school is pretty much separate. I mean, it is part of the university, but it like has its own academic deans and all those type of.
Did you go to FSU?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Did they do the one book, one campus thing when you were there? Did they pick a book? Did you go undergrad or master's? Or?
Both.
Yeah. Were you in social work?
I was. Mm-hmm. I graduated fall of, how long ago was that already? I think 2011.
It's just phone number.
Work number and cell phone. The work number would be the.
Who is that?
The Bainbridge, Georgia. I bet you that's the Greenbergs in Cairo that I was saying, Alex and Maya. Do you think we should talk to them?
Not right now. 294.
So that's his. The 294 would be his cell. The other number would be his office number.
Okay. All the news is already on. People
seem to,
well, they all they just know, I don't know what they put
up. Scott,
yeah,
I think.
That's basically what's going to happen.
Okay. My kids are not going to see the news, so I'm not worried about that. I guess you're just telling the story.
No, I'm saying that's probably why these people are trying to get a hold of you now.
Yeah.
I need to go back. I need a timeline here. Mm-hmm. What time did you wake up this morning?
A little before 8. I know that because the repairman was supposed to be here between 8 and 12, and I didn't set an alarm. So I woke up like, oh God, I need to put some clothes on and get ready.
Okay, what at 8 o'clock?
He called, or like my mom called. I could see what time the calls came in, but let's see, starting this morning. Yeah, my mom called at 8:09, and then the repair guy called at 8:08, and then my mom called at 8:09. I guess he called her to trying to, sorry. So yeah, so then the repair guy called, and I don't remember exactly what time he got there, but like between 8 and 9, probably closer to 9.
Okay, what time did he leave?
Around 10. He could probably tell you, like he'll have a record of what time he called in to figure out whether to repair it or by anyone.
Okay.
So he'll have a record of his calls too.
Okay, before 10 a.m.? A little before 10 a.m. he left. Okay. And then you went back to working on papers and so forth?
Yeah, I was making some breakfast. I remember I was making oatmeal, so it was taking a while. It was like that kind that you have to stir for a long time. And I was talking to Charlie, so there's my call to Charlie, and then I called Renee, my friend who's interviewing for a job at FSU today. She was driving in, and I wanted to wish her good luck and see if I could meet her for a hug at some point today.
Okay.
So that was at 10:24. I called my friend Tova back at 11:22. I think I was just, in between working on the paper, being distracted.
So between 10:24 and 11:22, all right, 10:24, you're talking to
Renee. I talked to her for 18 minutes.
Okay, so now we're up to 24 plus 18, we're at 40. Something.
42?
Yeah. Then I went back to working. And then I tried Danny again. I left a message at 11:42 a.m. It's probably just, 27 seconds. I just left him a message.
And this is out at your house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm getting down to this, I'm trying to whittle this down with what they pulled from your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever leave your house before you went to the liquor store and got turned around on Trescott?
No.
Never left?
No.
Okay. All right. And when, so at 10:42, you're done with the call
mm-hmm.
from Renee.
Yeah.
And you don't make another call again, according to what I have here, you call Tova.
11:22.
At 11:22. So between 10:42.
I worked for a total of like 20 minutes. It's a good thing I'm not on a timesheet.
Okay. So from 10:42.
And you know what? If you took my computer, you could probably find records of like what time I saved the document. And I'd be happy to sign a waiver so you could look at my computer.
And 10:42 to 11:22, you're working on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the call to Tova?
Mm-hmm.
And that was,
I just left her. She had called. I was just returning her call.
Okay.
So I just left a message. And then I tried Danny. I left him a call. I worked in between. Once again, it'll be good. I'll get you my computer if you want to take a look at the documents.
I just have to validate all this. Mm-hmm. That's all. So,
and you could probably go to my email records, which you should have. When you guys did the phone, you did the email records, so you would have of like what time I sent messages.
Uh-huh.
Were
you sending email messages during those times?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Between 10:42 and 11:22?
I think so, because I don't remember exactly what time, but before I left the house at noon, I sent off the like edits, like the citations to the law school library to have someone look at my citations on this paper that's due that I no longer care about.
Okay. And so how can we say, do you have some way of showing a timeline of when?
When I sent email?
No, when you left the house.
Oh, yeah. So the only thing I have that is, the only thing that I guess I have is I was waiting to call back this colleague of mine, Joe Davis, and I called him from the car at 12:27. And he was the first call I made as I was pulling out of the driveway. So that was like 12:27.
That's leaving the house.
That was leaving the house. So I got into the car, I put on my earpiece, I called Joe. And Joe was busy with a colleague. And then I was returning phone calls. I called back this woman, Laura, that was at 12:29. And then I called my friend, Jeff Skopek, who's different Jeff, lives in Boston, just had a baby. And so I was catching up with him about his baby. And we were on the phone about 16 minutes. I was on the phone with him on the way to the liquor store.
Joe Davis was the one at 12:27?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I actually spoke with Joe. Laura, I left a message, and then Jeff, I spoke with for a while, and then the connection cut out. I went into the liquor store, I tried him back again. We talked for a few minutes, connection cut out again, and I was like, I'm at lunch, I'll just call him back later.
Okay. When you went to the liquor store, did you already know what you're going to get, or you had
to... Yeah, I went to get, I had the name of, I don't know bourbon, but I was supposed to go to this party tonight. It's like a stock the bar party, and right. So I asked my friend, what are they like, and she wrote down the name of the type of bourbon, so I went in the store to get B-U-L-L-E-I-T, bourbon. And so I asked the guy in the store, like, where's your bourbon? And so he showed it to me and I found it.
Okay, so you just went, he pointed out where the bourbon was?
Yeah.
And you go there and you just grab the brand that's familiar by the name?
Yeah, that's what they said they wanted. So.
Okay, so you didn't discuss with the clerk whether it's good, whether it's bad?
The only thing I said I discussed is I walked over and he was like, can I see your ID? And I was like, oh, I... Why are you laughing? I could be 18.
Okay.
I was like, and so I was like, I love to be asked how old I am. I'm like, I'm old as dirt. Here you go. And so I handed it to him, and he's like, you're not old.
Okay.
So anyway, we had like a little banter, and he was like, your eyes are so blue. And I was like, thank you. And then I left. And so, yeah.
Will you put his name underneath there, please?
This is so creepy.
Just print his name.
That looks like him as a student. I wonder if that's like...
Oh, will you sign it as you're saying that's who Jeff Lacoste is?
Do you want me to like...
Just sign your name and the date.
Okay.
Okay. I just want to confirm who this person is.
Yeah.
Call your folks.
Okay. I really don't want to make that call.
I know, but...
I know, I just
like... You can wait if you want to.
No,
I feel
just,
like I was holding you up. So.
You were, and I...
I was, okay.
No, I mean, I want them here. I don't want to tell them what happened and what's going on because they're very emotional.
Well...
And...
make sure they're not driving.
Well, that's the thing, is like, they're going to now get in the car for 8 hours and come up, and...
Are they both very emotional? Is one more emotional than
my mom's more emotional. My dad's more of a straight shooter.
Okay.
People must really know now because I just got a text from someone that said, I know everyone is calling you right now, but could this really be happening?
I just talked with Alan, and he asked me, he was going to take the kids by the house to get some clothes and said that they have a key but don't know your alarm code.
I didn't set the alarm when I left.
Okay. That makes it easy.
If it goes off, it's 10:13.
Okay, and we spoke with the hospital. We've spoken with his dad. We did make contact with him. One of the other victim advocates was able to make contact with him. I don't know all the ins and outs of the conversation.
I'm sure he's devastated.
He's apparently in Colorado.
Oh.
They're in Aspen, or he's in Aspen, is at least what I understood.
Well, at least he's closer.
Right.
Well, I don't know if that's any closer.
I was going to say, the nurse at the hospital.
Yeah.
The rabbi was up there, and I'm sorry.
So that's not... Oh, it doesn't
matter. I know.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Why I'm correcting you. I'm sorry.
And I realized that when I called Jane, I was like, wait, I wrote that wrong. Was talking about something about the rabbi and didn't know what...
I'm sorry, Phil was talking... His dad was talking?
No, the nurse at the hospital.
Yeah.
And this was prior to me getting them in contact about what type of Jewish whatever he practices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He calls himself Flexodox, so he's Orthodox-ish. That's right. The rabbi is a good choice, the one that's here.
Okay.
Oyerkman.
Okay.
He's like his denomination.
He is there. Okay.
So, and he's at the hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because, and that's what I thought, and my conversation with him is, oh, yes, very familiar. And then when I talked to the nurse, so we may have been talking about two different people.
Did
because
you have an update on what's going on medically?
Like, you know, I didn't even ask, because I know somebody else is dealing with that. And my understanding is he's in ICU. Last I heard was he was probably not going to survive. But they are trying to work out the organ donor aspect of that whole thing.
And you told his dad this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they are aware.
And is he coming? Is he?
Well, and Melanie spoke with him, and I hadn't had a chance to sit down and talk with her since, because I was on the phone. I was trying to give the nurse a heads up to say, hey, just so you know, we've talked to the dad. He's going to be calling, so that random person didn't call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
did the kid, like, did Alan say the kids need to close? Like,
well, it,
they can just sleep in their closet.
Well, and he didn't know how long you were going to be and, you know, stuff like that. And Jane called and said when it, you know, when you are ready to go, she would like to come up here and go with you if she need, just so you're not going by yourself, you know, that type.
Am I allowed to take my car?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Did they keep the keys or?
I don't know if.
I know she had the keys. Did we ever get them from? Did someone take the keys?
Jim did.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
He may not have given them back. I'll double check. Again, you know, we're all doing different things, so I may have missed something, but I'll double check.
Okay, yeah, I don't have the keys. I'm going to call my parents.
Okay. And y'all spoke with Ixon about that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he said that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Do you need anything? Are you hungry?
No.
I know, you know, some people won't.
All right. I don't know how to tell them this.
I think you're going to be upset.
They're very angry with him, right? Like, well, this isn't like it's their son, but he's the father of my kids. And this is a very, pardon my language, fucked up situation.
Don't pardon your language at all. I would, you know what, when I was talking to, I would let them, you know, first because you're upset, so let them know that I'm okay.
Yeah.
As in you're okay.
Well, that's why I need to call them, because my mom would be like, what happened to my, like, if the police called, my mom would lose her shit.
Right, and that's why we always try to, like, you know, get people there in person, or, you know, get.
Yeah.
So, you know, just say, Danny.
7 o'clock already. I have to see my kids before they go to bed. I'm sure they're not going to want to go to bed without me, but, like.
And I'm sure they're going to be hyped up a little bit, because they're still in the house.
Oh, my God.
This is not a normal situation, and things are going to happen a little bit abnormal.
And no, I know. I'm just picturing, like.
And you know what part of it?
They're just so innocent. They don't know anything. And, like, they should not have to go through this. They're so little.
But you know what? Kids are resilient. And the younger they are, the more resilient they are. And you, I can tell already, are a compassionate and strong woman. And better than all that, too, is you've got an awesome support system, whether it be your family or just you've got a ton of people calling you. You've got a network, so you'll have people to help be strong for you.
People must be figuring this out. I just got a call from Karen, who's friends with Robin, who used to live here but is in Oregon now this year. I just got a call from Robin.
They're probably hearing and they're looking for you for confirmation.
Are they hearing on the news? Like, like, so you heard that, like,
they, what I'll tell you, the police station has their beliefs. You know, obviously the main person, you know, whatever the case may be.
No. Something must be going on. How would all of these people know?
Well, someone like the dean, and if they're trying to get hold of you and they can't, they're going to start going to other.
So that was the.
I mean, I will say the news does have the block. They do have the street. And
some
then
people are figuring it out. Well, Tracy knew that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's calling the hospital. So how did Tracy know?
And I will say that the
police, Facebook. They're all probably talking to each other on Facebook.
I mean, people communicate. Like,
no, I know, but like, news.
And then they're all probably trying to call him and say, hey, where are you at? What are you doing?
And right. Then, and so he's not responding, and he's always very responsive. They must have each other's contact on Facebook and then be connecting with each other. And
then what will happen is they'll get really frustrated because they'll try to contact the police department. We're not telling anyone anything. They'll try to contact the hospital. The hospital's like, no.
Here comes Chelsea. Okay, I'm going to call my parents.
Okay.
I have no idea what to say because I don't even know that he's dead. I just know that he has been shot. And
but all signs of what everyone's telling you, I mean, when they start talking, sorry to be blunt, organ donation.
I know, that's not really.
He's kind of.
Okay, so I just want to tell them what happened and that I need them here.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to come up here probably.
Kids are fine.
Mm-hmm. And let them know, you know, when they ask, say the kids are with Lynn and Alan. I'm going to probably be seeing them relatively soon.
I'll be out of here soon. Yeah, okay.
I know it's probably.
It's so creepy to see Jeff's picture. Like, it looked like a weird mugshot. Like, it's, can you, oh, dear God. Okay.
Nervous, Jeff.
No, I just, like, I think it's a shock reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? Shock reaction?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm a shaker when I get upset, so, yeah.
I don't usually shake. I really don't. Okay, here goes. This is the worst day of my life. Maybe I should text them if I can't reach them. Hi, Mom. How's it going? Mom, I need you to sit down. I am fine. The boys are fine. I need you to sit down. I'm fine, and the boys are fine. Danny has been. You can put me on speaker. Yeah. Danny has been shot. And I don't think he's gonna make it. And so I know. So I found this out around 1 or 2 today, and I'm at the police station, and I'm trying to help them figure out who may have done this. The boys are fine. I had Lynn and Alan pick them up from school, and they're with Lynn and Alan right now. And I'm gonna leave here soon and go be with them. But I really need you to come here and be with me. But I want you to either fly, obviously you can't leave right now, but I need you to get yourself together. If it's too much to drive, I'd really rather that you flew up. I'm at the police station, and I'm gonna leave soon and be with the boys before they go to bed. They're with Alan and Lynn, and they're totally fine. Yeah, the boys are fine, but they don't know anything yet. In his house, I know. So I just need you to calm down before you get in the car, okay? Okay, so, and it's, you know, it's evening, so if you wanna come here tomorrow, I have a lot of people that'll, you know, be here with me, and, you know, we'll have a lot of support. So I want you to take your time and just be safe in getting here, but I'd like you to come when you can, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I love you. I have the car here, but Jane might take me. I'm not going to be alone, so I have a lot of support, and I'll be fine. Yeah, if you could just come here, that would be great. He's in the ICU in the hospital. Okay, but be careful, okay? Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, love you too. Bye. Mom? Oh.
You did awesome with that call.
Thanks.
You were so stressed out about it, and you handled it.
I talked to Alan, mm-hmm. okay? And just because my suggestion to him, just because we don't know what's going on, was if he goes to the house.
Sorry, my mom might be calling back because she heard me. Mom? You did, yeah. I just wanted to ask if you could just tell Charlie for me. I just don't want to be making calls right now, so if you could just tell Charlie for me, that would be great. Okay, and just, like, it's on the news a little bit that there was a shooting on Trescott, and so I'm starting to get a lot of calls, and I'm not going to be answering them unless they're from you, so I would really try not to tell anybody what's going on just yet, just because, like, he's in the hospital, and... I talked to Charlie earlier today, obviously before any of this happened. Like, I talked to him at like 10 this morning, and he said that he was coming to visit you guys this weekend, and he had plans, and he sounded good. I just can't, Mom. So can you just tell him? Yeah, just tell him for me, and then I'm sure I'll talk to him soon. But I don't want to be on the phone unless I have to right now. Okay. Okay, all right. Love you too. Bye. My mom handled that pretty well. Could you hear her?
Yeah. I think, you know, because you're a mama, but moms always go in that natural instinct to kind of protect and help and...
Yeah. I'm waiting to hear from you whenever you can. That's Jane. When she says she's here, if I need company or a ride, do you think she meant here, like, metaphysically? Or here, like, in the lobby?
No, I think I would hope metaphysically. And again, remind me, Jane's the neighbor down the street that kind of... Oh, no, Jane. Okay.
What? Are you here?
Yeah, I think it sounded like Joanna said she talked to her recently, though, right?
I just wanted to say, I talked with Alan. My recommendation for you tonight, just because we don't know what's going on, is to stay somewhere, possibly. And he said that you are more than welcome to stay at their house. Yeah, so I wanted to let you know that.
Great.
Because I don't want you going home, just because we don't know what's going on.
I just am a little scared, so I'd really rather stay.
Yeah.
Are they okay with me being there?
Like, absolutely.
What we're going to do is, just to cut to the chase, I'm going to... follow you home, or if you're not well enough, we'll get somebody else to drive your van if you want that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get your computer from the house and everything. And then, so you're not going to go home by yourself.
Okay.
Just
well,
for
I'm
permission.
Happy to go to the house, and I can give you my password and stuff to get into the computer.
And do you want? Do you want me to drive your van home? He can follow
can
us.
Can we do that? Can you and I go home, and then I'll give you my password and.
That's fine.
You're in law school, right?
I teach at the law school.
So you need this computer, or do you have a backup somewhere?
I mean, I don't imagine I'll be getting much work done.
Right.
No, but do you need it like next week?
I do.
Depends on how long we keep it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Obviously this is more important. So if you need my computer, you can have my computer, and I just won't work for a little while, that's all.
Do you have it backed up somewhere?
It's backed up to the, there's a drive,
a hard drive.
Into
external
the law school. No, not an external, but like the law school has a server that,
you can work off of it in the lab building or something.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to be going back to work. So you can have my computer if you need it, and I'll figure out what to do. Okay.
You can get it back.
Okay.
This email to Jeff on the 14th. What I haven't looked at any of that stuff.
I can probably find it for you. Like in my. Well, I'm just saying. If we stop at my house, I can go to my sent mail and find it for you.
Well, do you remember what you said?
Basically, just I was kind of vague, but I just said like I'm having a hard time. My head and my heart are saying two different things right now, and I just would really appreciate if I could have a week of no contact from you to figure things out.
Okay.
That's basically it. I mean, you'll see.
But he didn't have, you didn't telegraph anything at yoga.
I mean, waited
till after you got home, right?
He was really like, let's go out tomorrow, let's do this, let's do that. I was having trouble saying no, but I was feeling kind of pressured. Mm-hmm. And so I just, no. I mean, I'm a little bit on the passive aggressive side, so I was having trouble like with the confrontation.
And then he left and you left separately from yoga?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then that's when you went home and decided.
I went home. I actually was having a conversation with a friend who suggested the no contact for a week just to get some heads, like just to clear my head. And so I thought it was a good idea and I wrote on.
But I want to clarify, that's because
because I was trying to decide whether to get back together with him.
Well, because of the lapse in time from the 28th of June?
That lapse in time was because I was in Miami with my family. So.
But it was separation.
There was separation, but I was...
Only for the trip.
I was 24-7 with the kids. I wasn't, like, I don't know. I was just in full-on mommy mode. I wasn't, like, thinking of what was going on with Jeff. I kind of wanted to be in Tallahassee and, like, feel his absence and be here and know, like, am I missing Jeff or am I missing having a boyfriend in general? Like, I just wanted to get some clarity for myself.
All right. When you're in Miami or South Florida, I guess Coral Springs, isn't it? When you're down there, is Jeff? Are you and Jeff constantly in communication?
This 2 week period, you mean?
The one after.
The one that just happened. We weren't in constant communication. I'd say we were in communication. We talked a few times over the 12 days. We talked maybe 3 or 4 times. We texted a little bit. I would tell him something funny the kids did or something. But I honestly didn't have a lot of privacy or time to myself, and so I was feeling sad about what was going on, but I wasn't communicating with him that much.
You're feeling sad about?
Well, I felt like he and I were in a great relationship, and he had done this thing to kind of make it not so great.
How would you describe his actions in Gainesville as far as the coming back from dinner?
Yeah.
Going through your phone?
No, that he did like months earlier.
I'm sorry.
That didn't happen that night. He came back and he was upset and he said, like, I was asking about this, like, every year FSU picks a book for all the freshmen to read, and this year they picked my book, and so I'm giving this speech in August in front of the whole freshman class. And he was like, I was going to wait until your big speech was over in August to tell you this, but, like, I just can't keep it in anymore. Like, I know that you were cheating with Daniel. Like, I know that you were seeing Daniel. And then he just kept talking about it, and the way he was going about it just felt very much like he was like, I have evidence, and you know, it was very kind of legal in a way, and it just seemed, I don't know, like he just didn't trust me, and I was kind of feeling like that was going to be the end of us.
Okay, I misunderstood. So he did not go through your phone or anything?
He did previously. He had said to me, like, well, I, you know, on March 19th, where were you? And I was like, I don't remember what I ate for breakfast. And so he was like, well, when I looked at your agenda book, it said that you were supposed to see Daniel that day. And he's like, and I looked on your phone, and like, you used to have all your old text messages up, but now you've erased them all. And I was like, I don't know, I just went through my phone and erased stuff sometimes.
He's bringing this up on the 28th.
He brought all this up,
okay,
of like past stuff that had happened since February.
Did he ever show any jealousy or any anger towards Danny, or was it all Daniel?
He was jealous of Daniel. He was not jealous of Danny. He spent a lot of time talking to me through, like, it's been a contentious divorce. I mean, it's been a hard time. And so he would talk to me through things I would be upset about. Sorry, it's gonna happen now, I guess. You know, I mean, he's a therapist, so he would sit and let me talk for long periods of time about how sad I was about certain things or how upset I was about certain things. And he would just listen and offer ideas of like, well, what if you tried like you know, if it upsets you that you hear from him so often, we have a parenting coordinator. Like, what if you ask the parenting coordinator to only have emails from him, like, twice a week instead of all day long, every day, 5 days a week? You know, like, he would listen and say, I'm so sorry you're going through this, and then offer alternatives. But he was never like, I'm so pissed, or, you know, he wasn't...
He never showed emotion towards any of this?
I mean, in the sense of, like, I'm so sorry for you, like, this sounds really hard, and I'm sorry you're dealing with this, he would hold me, you know, that kind of stuff, but not like, I'm so angry.
Did he ever meet Danny?
Yeah, he met him a few times. Sometimes Danny would be late to pick up the kids, and there'd be, like, an overlap where Jeff would come, and so he had met him. There was, like, the boys sang at the Capitol one time, and Danny was there, and Jeff was there, and Danny seemed, I mean, I'm sure it's not fun to see your ex-wife with someone new, but Danny seemed, he was very pleasant and very fine about it. He was really appropriate, and Jeff was like, you know, they'd say, hey, you know, they wouldn't really like make a lot of small talk, but had fine.
Had Jeff ever been to your former house on Trescott?
No.
Would he have any reason to go there?
No.
Does he know where?
I think he would know where it is, because I would sometimes take Trescott and sometimes not, kind of depending. Like, if I knew the kids were there and I thought I might have the chance of, like, running into them, then I didn't take Trescott. If it was, like, nighttime and we were driving back from somewhere, sometimes I would take Trescott and I would be like, there's my former home. You know, like, it's, you know, I would point it out.
Him in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember, like, a specific instance in which I did that, but I'm sure that would be something I'd say, like, wow, that was my house, like, isn't it pretty, or, you know.
So you never took him there specifically to pick up the kids, or
no.
Exchange anything, or mm-hmm. anything along those lines?
No.
What was the most recent time from now, the most recent past time that you had this discussion about the trials and tribulations of your ex-husband and so forth with Jeff?
It was all the time.
All the time. Okay.
I can't pin down a date, but I'm trying to think of, like, what the most recent issue would be. I haven't talked to Jeff all week, so it wasn't now.
You didn't talk to him since Monday night, and
not
you emailed
Monday.
Him with no response after that.
Yeah, so it wasn't this week. But I'm trying to think of there are always things, like when he first started dating Amy, he would Skype from bed with Amy, and so I would talk to him about that, of like, I don't think this is that appropriate, like, he's Skyping, you know, from bed, you and I would never do that. But I think that was more like a month ago. What was the last?
I just wondered if there was anything recently that kind of
there was nothing
sparked.
Like a huge thing of like, oh, I can't believe he did X, Y, or Z. And in fact, Jeff, like, we were trying to figure out the school decision this week, but that happened, I got the call like on Tuesday or Wednesday, so Jeff didn't even know about that. I honestly can't think of a
right. Did you have a contact person at this prospective school for one of your kids? Who
yeah.
was that?
Danny and I both talked to her. So it's a woman named Erin Lombardo. I think she might be the assistant principal there. So
what's the name of the school?
It's the School of Arts and Sciences.
Okay.
And it's a charter school in town, and they had put in an application for Ben, and he got picked from the lottery to go. And so they called, can find when they called. I think it was, they probably called Monday. I can't actually remember what day. They called at some point this week, maybe Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday maybe. And then Danny and I were trying to figure out whether this was a good option for him. And so what night did I was at work on Thursday morning. So I talked to Erin Lombardo Thursday morning, and she said that she'd had a lengthy conversation with Danny the night before. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you have to do this twice. And she was like, I'm used to blended families, it's okay. And so he had a long conversation with her Wednesday night. I had a long conversation with her Thursday morning.
This past?
Erin, yesterday.
Okay. All right. You did a note to yourself referring to something about, if you want to look it up on your phone, mm-hmm. I
think I had to buy super glue.
No, it was before that. It was JRL, or as in reference to JRL, as a note to yourself.
Mm-hmm. What did I say?
He said, I can't remember what exactly it said. Something to the effect of
something note, like about, in the notes.
Yeah, you have a note thing or a date book thing or something.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see a JRL thing. But okay,
and what's the? Do you refer to? Do you ever type anything?
Jeff. That's Jeff.
Refer to it as JRL?
Sometimes when I write his name down, just because I have other friends named Jeff. So.
Okay. I'll have to look. I'll have to go get it.
Yeah.
If, I'll see what exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to check on that reference.
I'm running out of juice.
Do you drink soda? I can see if you can find like a Diet Coke or something. Or
I meant juice on the phone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like running out of juice, and I'm like,
yeah. Sure am. Getting some emails.
Is Jane still here, or did she?
No, I think she meant metaphor.
Okay.
Oh my God. Well, my parents sounded really surprised, so it's at least a relief. I was trying to think of who would be angry enough to do something to him. My parents would be angry, but they're not capable of this. Thank God. I really couldn't handle that right now.
Yeah, no.
Can I ask Robin why Jimmy needs to talk to me, or just leave it alone? Leave it alone.
I can't.
I know.
I hate to advise on kind of those like legal situations.
Oh, here.
Hmm.
I mean, this is part, like, this is Lisa Frank, just like a friend of mine. I just read that there was a shooting on Trescott today. I hope you and the boys are safe. It's weird, though. It's like, I guess the reaction is they're worried, like, that Danny did something, right? Because otherwise, they know Lisa knows I don't live on Trescott. So I don't know. Wait, Jane is on her way to TPD, but I don't need her here, right? Because I'm going to Allen's.
I think she, from my read, when Joanna came in here, that someone was going to drive you and Joanna was going to drive your car the last step to kind of, so that way your car would be somewhere safe.
Okay.
But maybe something has changed because things tend to change a lot.
Okay, we'll just leave her here for the minute.
And I think, you know what, your friends want to, or want to be here for you, and if things change, they're flexible, especially if she's a social worker.
Yeah.
Comes to flexibility.
God, I have so many social workers in my life. Jeff sounds crazy when I talk about him like this.
I don't think so.
I really hope he didn't do this.
Is there something that would make you feel like he would be capable of something? Because you said...
Who is capable of doing something like this? I don't know anyone that, like... I represent victims of trafficking, mm-hmm. but, like, I don't know the traffickers.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't spend time with them. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, like, someone who's capable of, like, extinguishing a human life or, like, thinking someone else's life is less than theirs. Like, I work with the victims who mm-hmm. have been thought as less than human, but not with the people who think that's okay.
You can look at the full one. It's kind of hard to see here because it printed sideways. Do you think there is insecurity that has nothing to do with
but
something?
Is this like a...
It's a calendar thing. So it's telling you to talk to JRL.
Okay, yeah. So I have been talking to friends this week about like what to do about Jeff, whether to get back together with him. And yesterday I talked to my friend Joey, who had some ideas. And so I put that in my calendar for Monday because that'll have been a week since I've not talked to him. So
right.
I put it in to remind myself like, okay, now it's been a week. And of like to ask him these questions, like these are the things I was thinking about and things I want to talk to him about.
And when you're referring to this, you're saying Daniel, not Danny.
Daniel Sack.
Right. That's who you're saying. His aggression or his jealousy, however you want to talk about it, however you want to describe it,
yeah.
is towards Daniel Sack.
Because Jeff really felt like, yeah, no, it's all about Daniel Sack, because Jeff just felt like everything was fine now that Daniel has moved to Amherst, and I kind of felt like if you're going to be insecure, it's going to be someone else some other time, but it's not just Daniel, that it's like something going on.
But this never has never happened. This is for next. This
coming is my calendar for Monday to, I'm writing down things to talk to him about.
Okay.
Makes me sound like a total weirdo.
No, that's fine. I just was curious because I saw Daniel, and yeah. I know you told me it's to you to.
Well, because I dated him, and it's
Danny.
Like, and he goes by Danny, like anyone who's friends with him. Nobody calls him Daniel.
Okay.
It's just his given name, but there's not a person on earth that calls him that knows him. So he goes by Dan or Danny, and his niece and nephew call him Bo. A lot of the family calls him Bo as a nickname.
All right.
But Daniel Sack is Daniel Sack.
When's the last time you talked to Daniel Sack?
I talked to him this week.
Okay.
Everything's
fine with him?
Yeah, he's living in Massachusetts. He's happy.
Okay.
We had a nice chat.
Okay.
I mean, he's my friend and...
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get ready to leave here in just a minute.
Great.
And I'm going to... I think we determined that...
I'm going to go to my house. I'll give you my computer.
Right. And passcode or whatever.
Yeah.
And then from there... You're going to go to the friend's house.
Mm-hmm. I'll pack a bag and we'll go. Okay, so Joanna is going to come with us.
Yeah.
I think my friend Jane is outside. She said she's parked outside TPD in case I need her. So we can tell her, I guess, that...
Jane
that was here.
McPherson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't need her, I guess. I mean, she can come with, but...
We just want to make sure you get someplace that... you're comfortable, and you've already told me enough reasons that you feel like that maybe whoever did this...
I don't want to go home.
Right. So we're going home just to get the clothing, the computer, and then we can get you on to the other... I can't remember their names now.
Alan and Lynn.
Right.
They live really close to me.
Okay.
You look like you've had a long day.
I have. Okay, so we'll be getting ready to go in just a minute, okay?
Okay, well, I don't have a lot of stuff to take with me.
Can I
throw out the tissues in the trash can?
Yeah, but we're not there yet. I just want to push
I'll get a trash can for you before you go, don't worry. Okay, because I'm thinking... It's okay. Do you want me to go with you on any of this?
You're really sweet. I'm okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not.
I mean, I'm going to call you to check.
I'm most definitely not okay, but...
I'm on call this weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my number. I'm going to give you my cell phone.
Okay.
And I'm available. Okay.
I have friends and I don't really
That's
need
good.
To...
And, you know, friends will know more than I hope. But you might have questions that come up.
No, I mean, there's a lot that you can answer and, I'm sorry. I can't believe this is happening.
And I'm sorry this is happening.
God, everyone's sorry this is happening. You know, it's like my parents have more reason to dislike Danny than almost anyone else. He hurt their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to my mom just like cry and be horrified on the phone and be like, and she sounded like...
Well, it's horrible. And normal, good-hearted people don't wish...
Nobody wishes.
...things like this to happen. You know, like you might say like, I get frustrated. You might be like, I hate someone, but you don't ever... Saying stuff out of emotion isn't something you really want sometimes to happen.
This is a very strange day.
Using the word strange is very kind of you, because you could use a lot of other explicitives to probably describe today for yourself.
I want to write Renee just because if there's any way I could... So strange that she's here today of all days.
Is she going for like a Title IX position or something like that at Florida State?
It's not a Title IX. It's actually like a social entrepreneurship position. I called the wrong number. Or maybe she's lost her cell phone. She's run out of money. I can't even like...
No, you're okay. I'm sorry. I'm asking you. You're irrelevant.
Renee is... Hopefully that'll work. It's really messed up that people are worried when I hear gunshots on Trescott that they think, like, something happened to me. I guess it makes sense. It's divorce and people do crazy things. I really would like to get out of here.
Very soon.
I'm sure you would too.
My job. And I'm on call this weekend, so.
Yeah, it's a really hard job.
It is, but. Yeah. You know, it's something I think's needed, and somehow I'm able to do it, and I don't know if it'll be my forever, but it's.
I think it's probably got a lot of burnout. It'd be hard to do this forever. My stomach really hurts.
Just those little things too to keep in mind when you're kind of going through the motions, because that's what you're probably going to be doing the next few days.
To eat. When they're like, you need your work computer.
And drink.
I'm like, work. Take my computer. There's nothing on it you're going to find that's going to, well, I don't know. Maybe there's something they'll find that's useful, but.
Well, you know, they're used to thinking. A lot of times things will happen like burglaries, or they deal with suspects who aren't cooperative and don't, you know, they're like, giving my stuff back. And
yeah.
The main thing, your parents will get here.
Yeah.
Focus on the boys.
I will.
Meet them where they're at. Maybe talk to your friends at did you say psychologist?
Psychiatrist. Child psychiatrist.
She might have some good pointers, but, you know, I always say meet kids where they're at. Yeah. Be honest. Let them know, you know, when you're sad, if they get sad, if they see people around them that are sad, that's okay, you know, because people are going to be upset.
It's Sarah. Right?
Yes. And I'll give you my card and write down my number, too, for you.
I was calling him General. I mean, I just am not okay.
Well, this is a traumatic experience, and your brain's going to kind of process the stuff differently, so.
Is it good, like, should I be taking the kids to school when Monday comes around? Like, is it good to have, like, a routine for them?
I mean, it's up to if you want to keep that. And yeah,
well,
I
say it, and now I'm like, I don't want those kids away from me. Like, what if there's, like, a deranged gunman in town? Like,
I'm hoping as the weekend and time kind of goes on, hopefully the police department will be able to give you some more information, you know? And this is just a basic kind of how a criminal investigation works. They may know more than they're telling you, but they don't disclose much because if it gets out to someone who tells someone who tells someone,
yeah, and of course, too. I'm gonna tell a friend, and they're gonna be like,
right,
because I need to talk to someone.
Right. Sorry, oh no, you're fine. You're fine. So, you know, it can be frustrating sometimes dealing with us because you're like, well, what are you doing? Why haven't you told me this or that? And it's kind of all to protect the integrity of the case.
I know. So. I just, as he was driving me here, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like. I wonder if I could be, like, framed for something, like, if I didn't do something, but I'm still going to end up in jail.
That's your attorney mind probably thinking, but you've been more than forthcoming with information, and you're doing everything you can to help.
I can't imagine who would do this. I can't imagine that Jeff would do this. I see why he's a good suspect. And Jane thought of him right away, but I didn't. I don't know why that is. I wasn't trying to be protective of him. I even thought of my own family.
Maybe you weren't really thinking of him at all right now in your brain?
Mm-hmm. I feel like a fierce mama cat right now. Like, I just want to get to my boys. And I know they're fine with Alan and Lynn. Like, and
I think that you want to hold them and see that they're okay with your own eyes. And
yeah, I really need to be with them. Will I tell him? I can't see it. I don't want to. Okay, so we think, like, Danny's not waking up. Like, is that. That's the thing.
That's
like, I don't want to tell my kids that their father is gone if he's not. Like, I don't want to have that.
Do you think you can be around them tonight without maybe disclosing to them?
I do.
Then maybe it's something you could just wait till the morning till you know a little bit more certainty.
Is somebody going to tell me? Like, if he doesn't make it and it's, like, official, is someone going to...
What? I mean, I'll know because they'll notify me, because then when incidents like this happen, they'll have to do an autopsy and things like that. So I can ask the investigator to let me know when they get... Because they'll have to notify the police.
They'll figure this out, right? They'll figure out who did this.
That will be their goal, and that they figure it out.
There are unsolved crimes, aren't there?
I mean, there's always unsolved crimes, but I would say these guys that work here are really good. They're going to be working really hard, probably throughout tonight, into the weekend.
I don't seem to be worried about my safety. Why is that? I'm not saying they're like they don't care about me, but they don't seem to be worried
probably
about
because me. There's from whatever they're looking at, there's not any indications as of yet, and I think they're taking the good precautionary measures to say
don't stay at home. I just
and it's good for you anyway to have support.
I have an alarm system, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't necessarily, like, I got the alarm because my parents were like, you're a single woman that lives with two kids, like, you should have an alarm. I just don't think they're that useful. Like, I think by the time they call to be like, hey, was there, mm-hmm. I feel like it's always too late.
Well, and you know, I think it's good for you tonight to just stay somewhere, and if anything,
I'd rather be with
have support
than, yeah.
and kind of a little bit of a distraction.
Yeah. It'd be nice just not to worry about, like, I don't know, I'm just picturing, like, getting up and trying to, like, you know, the kids being like, they're 3.5 and 5, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll want to eat ice cream or do whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't have the energy to, like, impose any restrictions right now.
And then, you know, it's a difficult time. They might not need those restrictions. And,
oh, those poor kids.
But I think, you know, if you think you'd be comfortable tonight just kind of waiting to see.
I do. You think that makes sense? Like, not just because I am still not.
Well, you know, because this is. I would say maybe yes, it would make a little bit of sense. And talk it over with your, you know, family and friends. But the thing is, because then if not, you're going to have to tell them something along the lines that he's seriously hurt. No, you can't see him, you know, and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And that might. And then you're going to have to come back and be like, oh, well, actually, you know.
What do you tell your children? Well, their father was murdered. It's not like daddy had cancer and he's sick and he's, you know, he's around for a long time.
I don't think you tell them all that right away. And no. Again, I'm not, you know, I don't work with children very often. But I would tell them, you know, just that, you know, he was really hurt and he had to either, you know, go to heaven, whatever kind of concept that they have on that.
I don't know how much they get this, but like, he was fine, he was healthy, mm-hmm. he was strong. It's not like he was sick and they saw him get sick. Like,
well, and that's why you said he was hurt, you know, because, and I know they don't understand this, but think of this, he could have gotten in a traffic crash or something.
I'm gonna have questions though, and I don't want to lie to them.
And you don't.
Like,
and
I don't want to say he was hurt. How is he hurt? He felt like...
Well, you could then say something like, some very bad person harmed your dad, you know? Do you think they're going to ask?
I don't want to expose them to that. But, like, well, they're going to be so scared. Like, what if the very bad person comes and harms me, and then they're going to be orphans?
Well, talk to... And again, I take it one day at a time, though. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves again.
I know, but I'm just trying to figure out how do I go to the house and tell them what's going on.
You know, when you were talking to your parents, you were very composed given the situation.
I'm usually a really good advocate for other people, just mm-hmm. not for myself. So, yeah, I mean, I can, like, put on my big girl pants if I have to, but talking to my parents and talking to my kids.
Well, and then you, when you do talk to them, you know, like, I always hope I could be there with you, but they don't know me. So I think
that would freak them out
right.
more to have you there.
Right, like, exactly.
Who's this and why do we need her?
So
and they would ask you, like, who are you?
Right, and then we'd be little friends, but still yeah. the same, you know, but have a support there for you. So if things get a little bit hard on you...
Can I text Ritu and just my friend who's a child psychiatrist?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I think...
Yeah, and again, I'm not a psychiatrist and I don't work directly with children on
a
regular basis.
Do you mind if I talk to her? Like, I'm sorry,
no.
I just keep feeling like I'm a suspect and I need to ask.
No,
like,
no. And she'll probably call you after you send her this text and
I'm gonna run out of battery soon. I can't believe it's almost 8 o'clock at night.
How bad is your battery?
I have 36%, which isn't terrible.
I was gonna say I might have a cable at my desk.
It's an older one. It's not one of the...
Oh, then yeah, I might have just been to you. Sorry.
I really wish I had taken a shower this morning. My plan was to go to this lunch and then come home and work out and shower and then be ready for this party tonight with the boys. Plans are funny. All kinds of plans that will not be happening. I was taking my dad on a trip for his 70th birthday on the 2 weeks when Danny goes with the kids to Canada. I was thinking about that before, of like, if the situation were reversed, I want to make sure that his family has access to the kids, you know, that like they can feel like they didn't have a good relationship with them before. They're pretty difficult people, but these are their grandkids, you know. So I want to make sure that they can have a relationship with them.
And that'll be good too, because that'll be kind of giving them a relationship with their dad.
How did this happen? I feel like either Amy's ex-husband did this, or somebody did this on my behalf. Some crazy deranged person thought that this was a good way to support me. And that's why I feel responsible. Unless it was something to do with Amy, and then I don't feel responsible. But then I'm still responsible because I'm the one who left Danny. If I didn't leave him, he would never be with Amy. And now my kids don't have a father.
Can see why you'd have that logic of that blaming, but and it's going to take some time, but that's not the way to think. You did what was best for you and your kids. And you said it yourself, if anyone took this on their part, they were clearly not in their right mind.
I feel like by complaining about how difficult he was, like, I inspired this intimacy.
Okay. You went through a divorce. You're not the only person that complains about their soon-to-be ex-spouse. Divorces aren't really things that happen to people that are completely happy and together, and each person's going to talk to their person. Okay? You did what you needed to do for yourself. And just because you confided in friends and family and got the support that you needed doesn't give anyone in your friends or family the authorization or even to conclude that that was an okay thing to do, if it was even something like that. And you don't stay with someone for forever just in case something might happen.
Did I do this? Like, what if it's Jeff? Like, then I did this by asking for some time away from him. I made him crazy.
But you haven't said anything that would indicate that you would think Jeff had anything against.
I mean, he didn't like Danny because Danny hurt me, you know?
Right. But what would make you think he'd go to this extreme?
Nothing. Nothing would make me think that. He's a therapist.
Like, he's a social worker.
Yeah. So. He felt for me. He was sad for me when I was sad. He would help me reason out things and figure out how to, like...
But even that,
it's like... We have a parenting coordinator, and Danny didn't like our last parenting coordinator, so he fired her.
There's more to come as we break down the police interrogation of Wendy Adelson. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss our next segment. If you're joining us midway through, every single day, we're dropping parts 1 through 5 of Wendy Adelson's police interrogation interview. What did she know? And where did she know it?
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.